Grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
The text for our anniversary sermon this afternoon is taken from our Lord's high priestly prayer. It's recorded in John 17, the first 11 verses. After Jesus said this, he looked toward heaven and prayed, "Father, the time has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. For you granted him authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to all those you have given him. Now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have brought you glory on earth by completing the work you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had that I had with you before the world began. I have revealed you to those whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have obeyed your word. Now they know that everything you have given me comes from you. For I gave them the words you gave me, and they accepted them. They know with certainty that I came from you, and they believe that you sent me. I pray for them. I am not praying for the world, but for those you have given, for they are yours. All I have is yours, and all you have is mine. And glory has come to me through them. I will remain in the world no longer, but they will still be in the world, and I'm coming to you. Holy Father, protect them by the power of your holy name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one, even as we are one." So far the words. Just before the service, Pastor asked me if I were going to preach 45 minutes. And I know that he was worried, because how many verses did you take out of the hymns? Sermons should not really be autobiographical. But I can't read John 17 without thinking about my own days as a vicar, an internist pastor, in the Panama Canal Zone under the tutelage of Air Force Chaplain Major Art Meyer, pastor of Redeemer Lutheran Church in the Canal Zone. In the mid-1960s, the Missouri Synod was still reeling from the breakup of the Evangelical Lutheran Synodical Conference in North America. That was when the Wisconsin Synod declared that we of Missouri Synod were just far, extremely too liberal, and they wanted to separate from us. The Finnish Synod declared the same, and the Slovak Synod said they wanted their own independence, but since they had no Slovak seminary in North America, they would continue sending their seminary students to our Concordia Theological Seminary, then still situated in Springfield, Illinois. Often at the end of a very long day, perhaps after some particularly challenging meeting, Art would say, "Vicar, let's go over to the El Rancho for the longer view." And that would mean most often cerveza fría, cold beer, and for him, a good cigar. And then after we had had vented our frustrations and reflected on how we might best respond theologically, the evening would conclude with Art citing his own teacher, Herman Sasse, his words, "Remember, Jesus still prays for his church, the high priestly prayer. And Jesus stands beside his Father at his right hand and prays that same prayer for us for eternity. That is, in fact, why we are gathered here this afternoon at the corner of George and Sherman Streets. The prayer that Jesus prayed on the night of his betrayal, the eve of his crucifixion, is the intercession that he continues to make as our brother at the Father's right hand. And glorified with the glory that was his even before the world existed, Jesus remains our mediator to this day at the heavenly throne. He prays for Trinity. We celebrate anniversaries such as this 125th anniversary of Trinity Evangelical Lutheran Church that we might not forget. Part of this remembering is, of course, the chronicling of the history of this place. It's the telling of the story of those German Americans who first met in their homes and then gathered together and organized this congregation in 1884. And there are many stories to be told, stories of hardship and sacrifice, of flourishing times when the congregation's membership would swell and the school was packed to overflowing. And then the saga of those years of slow decline, then of schism, closing of the day school, and the struggle and the tenacious commitment to hang on to the promises of Christ Jesus and remain here in this place, in this community, so that the gospel might still be heard. There are the stories of the 18 pastors who have served here these past 125 years. Those pastors with their capabilities, with their quirks, but put here by the grace of God to give out his gifts in sermon and in sacraments. All kinds of memories. Pastors and teachers, principals and preschool directors who have come and gone. Church and school secretaries, the Walther League of an earlier day, church dartball leagues and congregational picnics, and heaven only knows how many potluck dinners. And hundreds of little events woven into the fabric of this congregation's life. Some of the memories are of joyous marriages celebrated, baptisms administered, sons and daughters standing tall on confirmation day, pledging to suffer all, even death itself, rather than deny Christ and his word. There are those graduating classes of the school, the confirmation class. There were at least three from the class of 57. Are there more? And then there were those glorious Easter services, the music, the trumpets, the flowers, and the glow of Christmas Eve with candles, silent night, holy night. Other memories might bring a tear to the eye as you think of those loved ones who labored here and are now with the Lord in his heaven. There have been seasons of controversy and dissent, disappointment and loss. And there have been decades of harmony, genuine concordia, as the Lord's people here united in and under God's word with one heart, one mind, and mouth to glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. All of that history is piled into our prayers today. The sum total of all of that history, as deep as it is, as rich as it is, does not yet define Trinity Evangelical Lutheran Church. Rather, Trinity has a history because of the Jesus who prays for you. His prayer tells you what you are and who you are and what he's done for you. His prayer tells you of the future that he has for you. He has gone to the Father by the way of the cross to give you eternal life. And this is eternal life, that they might know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. He is the Son sent from the Father to manifest his Father's name in the world. The Son has given us the words of spirit and life that he received from the Father, that in these words we might have life in his name. So the Lord prays, Holy Father, keep them in your name, those which you have given me, that they may be one, even as you, as we are one. And history tells us that the Father has answered the Son's prayer over and over from generation to generation. He keeps on answering that prayer through his word. He calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the holy Christian people for himself, the sheep who hear the voice of the Good Shepherd. God creates his church by his word. And he also preserves his church by his word, the word of the cross. Anniversary celebrations such as this one are not really about the faithfulness of our forefathers or our own deep love for this place, but about Jesus, who works the miracle of the church's preservation. After all, he is the one who promises to build his church and sustain it to the very end of time. He is the Lord who has given us the sure and certain promise that the gates of hell will not prevail against his body, the church. Now, there is an awful lot of anxiety about the church today. Mainline Christendom, even in the United States, is having a terrible time. Our churches are shrinking. Congregations are shrinking. There are dire predictions that the church is graying, aging, and dying off. And well-meaning leaders grasp for all kinds of life support systems. But the truth of the matter is that the church can never keep itself alive. She lives only by the life and death of another, Jesus Christ. He gives us no guarantee that congregations in every place will survive. We think of places mentioned in the New Testament where the church no longer exists. There are whole church bodies where the faith was once confessed that have sunken into apostasy and unbelief. With so many magnificent cathedrals in Europe standing empty, we think of Martin Luther's comment that the gospel is like a summer rain shower that quickly waters one place and then moves on to another. Luther reminded his dear Germans not to imagine that it, the gospel, would be theirs forever. Christ Jesus guarantees that his church will never perish. But that promise does not mean that congregations or even church bodies will not expire. We cannot take it for granted that Trinity will last forever. Our Lord will have good use of Trinity as he wills. For another 125 years and more, we hope and we pray. But our true confidence, our real confidence, is not in Trinity with its unique history, its vulnerable building, its wonderful liturgies, or its zeal to proclaim God's word in this community and beyond. Our confidence is in Jesus, who prays for his church. Sent from the Father as the Word made flesh, lifted up on the cross to draw all people to himself, he goes to the Father as our high priest, the one who prays for us. He goes to the Father that we who are still in the world might be sanctified in the truth, kept from the power of the evil one, and finally be brought where he is. So you see, today is much more than an occasion for sentimental reminiscence or hankering for what was remembered as the glory years, now forever past, supposedly. Rather, it is a day to call upon the name of the Lord, the name which the Lord has put on us in baptism, and remember that he will never leave us or forsake us. It is a day to hear the words that Jesus speaks to us so that we know the truth that he is the one who is sent from the Father specifically, purposely, for our salvation. It is a day to receive the gift of the New Testament in his body and drink of blood. For it is with his name, his words, and his sacrament that the Lord has gathered and sustained the congregation of Trinity Evangelical Lutheran Church all of these 125 years. And Jesus still prays for his church. The outcome of his praying is not in doubt. Jesus Christ, crucified for the sins of the world, is raised from the dead. He has purchased and won you for himself. Trinity belongs to him. You belong to him. For the legacy of this congregation's good and godly heritage, we give our thanks to God. And in embracing the future, which also comes from his son's open tomb, we make the words of Psalm 48 our own. Walk about Zion, go around her, number her towers, consider well her ramparts, go through her citadels, that you may tell the next generation that this is God, our God, forever and ever, and he will guide us forever. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.